Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Welcome back to Matt Chat, everybody. I am very excited because I have probably the best specialist that ever was or ever will be with me today.
Oh,
Alexa, thanks for
joining. Hi. I'm happy to be here. This was such a fun surprise.
I know. And what an episode to talk about because I think, okay, I would love to hear what your thoughts are on the season so far. Like, I know we have a lot to talk about with this episode, but like season 50, how are you feeling?
Yeah, you and I talked right before the season started and I did a predictions with Phil, but Overall, I love it. I think it's great. I was like, I probably felt similarly to how everyone did about the cast, but this cast is really working. And I feel like I could have talked for 6 months about how I never thought Emily and Ozzy would even speak to each other. And now they are like deeply involved in each other's games. So I like the weird combination of people. I like the madness, but I also, it makes my heart sing to see like Ozzy and Suri trying to find something together. And Coach and Colby like reuniting. So I'm really happy with it. The gripes that I'm having are, you know, pretty obvious. There's like when it comes to like the Zach Brown reward, I actually kind of liked it. Like it was probably the best reward a player has had in a very, very long time. It was creative. Do I think it needed to like impact 4 to 5 people's confessional accounts? Absolutely not. And I find that incredibly frustrating, but to me, that's like, him being on wasn't so insulting because I think it was a really cool reward. This also isn't really the game's fault, but it's just really hard when one tribe continues to go to tribal council. It's like each vote out and each discussion almost becomes less interesting because there's just less wiggle room, you know? Mm-hmm. So I liked that they tribe swapped. I liked the new dynamics. I loved the Charlie and Rizzo dynamic. I thought that was super captivating and really like realistic. Like, I think if I was in Charlie's position, I would have been really upset too and had a really hard time with that. From a viewing perspective, it was just like a really good like drama and debate. What do you think?
I love it. I think the season's so good. I'm very much enjoying it. Obviously, there are, you know, I, like everybody, was annoyed with the Zach Brown of it all. But you're right. On like taking the actual reward away from everything else, like the reward was genuinely a very cool reward. Like way better than we've had at all in the new era. Like the closest thing that we've had in the new era is that like helicopter reward that Austin D and Keturah, I think it was, got to go on. And other than that, the rewards are just going to the sanctuary. And then we complain about like, oh, do something other than the sanctuary. And they do something other than the sanctuary. And we complain. But we weren't complaining about the reward per se. We were complaining about everything else around it. The reward itself is great, but it's just like, we also didn't need to see him spearfish. Like, we could just, you know, whatever. But I do think that the reward is really interesting. And I think that, you know, I'm really loving the season. I'm sad. I think that this episode, I was actually very sad about the boots. Number one, because my Alexa, oh, I'm doing so bad on my, on my fantasy.
Oh, I have, no. Who did you
want to know who my team was? So somebody commented when I posted it after this episode, and they went, your team looks more like Ceri's hit list than a team. And because Ceri was my first choice, I was first round draft pick. And then I chose Ceri. And then I went, Charlie, Jenna Lewis, Savannah.
Oh my God. Wait, who are your last like three?
No, that's, we only did four. Cause it was like six people. So it was oh just like, God, I only did four. It's genuinely terrible. So I'm banking on a Ceri win. That's the only way I can make up the points.
I mean, Ceri's like good so far. She's good. I think Rizzo's gonna get her though. I think it's like a super old school player and a super new school player. Yeah. Are aligning, and I think the values are different. As soon as she was like, we're married, I was nervous.
Well, let's talk about that relationship. I think we have a lot to talk about with this episode, but like, let's talk about this weird relationship that, this weird relationship that like we saw, because I don't think anybody going into season 50 was going expected to see Ceri work with Rizgod. I mean, especially since like in episode one, she was like rolling her eyes. Or whatever episode it was when she met him, rolling her eyes at Rizgod. I am so fascinated by this like dichotomy of like, yeah, kind of like yin and yang. But the one thing that they both have in common, which I find fascinating, is they both have this way to enchant people. People, I think, go into games maybe wanting to target Ceri, wanting to work against Ceri. They don't want to have, you know, this huge social threat. And then all of a sudden, they're like, working so close with Ceri. And then this season, we're seeing people like, Colby, Rizgod, like, who is this guy? Whatever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's like, they're enchanted. What is it about these two very different players, you know, having this like enchanting social game?
It's impressive too, because they're different, because Ceri is someone that generally everyone like starts with liking and they know she needs to go, and then they just get hearts in their eyes, versus Rizzo, it seems like people start off not liking him and then liking him. So in a way, he like his version of that is more impressive, because typically if you don't like someone, you're just not going to like them. And on Survivor, like when you're hungry and someone's annoying, that's even worse. But Jonathan and Dee, like two episodes ago, they were like, we gotta get rid of her. And Dee was like, but do we? Like, it's unbelievable that they, I don't know what it is. There's just this like, this magic.
It is, it's like magic. And I think, you know, and I think like a player with, of Dee's caliber working with Ceri just makes so much sense. Like, we're seeing, you know, Dee has a huge target on her back. She's the only winner left still in the game. And she, they kept talking about how she is this like most dominant winner of the new era. And whether you truly believe that or not, perception is reality. And if everybody thinks that Dee is the most dominant winner of the new era out there on the island, then she is the most dominant winner of the new era. And she has to work against that. And so I think, and then also with, you know, Camilla being a part of this as well, Camilla had this huge, you know, maybe not as big of an edit as Kyle in 48, but at that finale, every single person raised their hand saying if it was Camilla sitting at final three and against anybody, Camilla would have won. And so Camilla's also has to go against this. I mean, you think about that was the thing that they just saw before they left, right? So all of these people have like a thing going against them. It's everybody has a different thing. Rizzo's the unknown. But I think that like them joining forces kind of feels like the Power Rangers or something, where it's just like so weird, but incredible.
It's like hiding amongst other very big threats.
It's like, they're like zebras. They're still a big target together. But it's like maybe one will get picked off, but you just hope it's not you.
Right. And I guess her other option would be, it was like, what, Charlie, Devins, and Jonathan. And did you see the meme of, it's not a meme, this is things that actually happened, her like riding Jonathan like a horse in the challenge. Like, that was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
So funny.
Do
you think that there was a world where Camilla would have ever gone with the other side?
That's what I was thinking. Like, in the moment when I was watching it, I was like, Charlie feels the tension, but I don't know what relationship she does, like, do, like, have, and other than her, you know,
Alexa, I'm so sorry. I think we lost you there for a second. Can you hear me?
Cam, can you?
Uh-oh. Alexa is breaking in and out. And I also just, hello, can you hear me? Oh, she's back. Can you say that again?
How about now?
Good. Okay. We got you.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I don't know. I feel like if anyone's listened to me in the past 6 months, they would know I keep having these issues. I think wherever I got lost was, other than her and Jonathan having a good, like, challenge relationship, I don't think they would work together. Versus, she told us in a confessional, she was like, Rizzo is BSing me. There's no way that Kyle is, like, dying on the beach and saying, please hang out with my best friend Camilla. And yet she still chose him. So I took that as she's surrounding herself with some other threats, and she still has this, like, upper hand on Rizzo because she's not buying everything he's selling. So I think that's why she went with him.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I also think, you know, Ryan brought up a good point when we were watching. He was like, Camilla probably doesn't also want to work with a bunch of dudes again. Like, she just did that. She just did that. And I bet she's like, I am not looking to do this again. I love Kyle. I love how that season ended, whatever else, but, like, you don't want to do the exact same thing that you just did a year ago. So I think she's looking to kind of, like, do something a little bit different.
That's true. And I think, like, I mean, Rick Devens, I would not say, I think he would take this as a compliment, is not the most, like, loyal, honor and integrity kind of player, but Jonathan kind of is. So, like, why would she choose that again?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jonathan, you know, pending our 50 person merge, like, Jonathan leads you to Coach, which leads you to Joe, which I'm confident she doesn't want any part of.
Yeah, 100%. Especially because if you think about it, all of the trios, there was a David versus Goliath trio, there was 46 trio, and RIP, and the 48 trio. The 48ers have two people left, but there's only one person from 46 left, and there's only one person from David versus Goliath left. So another thing is, like, I don't know that, you know, she would want to go back and work with Joe when all of these trios, all of these, like original season groupings have been broken up. So I feel like she probably wants to separate herself as much as she possibly can from that. Probably.
Yeah. That's a good point. If she's she's seeing Mike White go home, and then this week when she sees Angelina be gone, I think that really adds that. So that's a really good point.
Yeah.
So I think in the moment I was surprised. Yeah. Oh, she aligned with D and Tip.
And she aligned with D. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, like, after I took a step back, it made sense why she chose him, but it was not what I wanted. So I was like, bah, why'd she do that? And, you know, Tribal Council, they're playing it up too. Like, Rizzo is talking up his game, and you see her kind of rolling her eyes a little bit.
Yeah. Now, are you, I thought about this thing because it was not highlighted in the edit at pretty much at all, but in one of the biggest alliances that we saw out there on the island originally was Emily, Ceri, Rick Devens, and Christian. Now, obviously, Rick Devens and Christian are closer than everybody else. And I think Emily and Christian were close, whatever. But Ceri and Rick Devens were a part of this grouping.
Right.
Rick Devens and Ceri voted differently in this last episode. What do you think this was on purpose? Or do you think that Ceri does not want to work with Rick Devens anymore?
I feel like they were more, like, if it's a solar system, I feel like it was Christian and Rick were super tight, but, like, Ceri and Rick themselves don't seem super tight, or maybe even Ceri and, like, Emily too, to be honest. I feel like other than Ozzy, like, Ozzy's the only person that I think Ceri would, like, really, really fight for, which we saw. I think, I don't know if this could be just, like, the fast pace of the season too, but it could have been, we didn't even talk to each other, right? Like, they
not
didn't
really.
They seemed to kind of just pass. So I bet, like, they would get back together if Christian gets back there and the stars aligned. But I don't think it was like super intentional for them to not work together, you know?
I agree. I also, there was a, somebody commented on one of my videos, which I thought would be, was interesting. And I could totally see this happening. After the vote out happened, Rick Devens like patted Rizzo on the like leg and said, good job or something. And maybe it's just Rick Devens being Rick Devens. I think he's a hard competitor. And I think when he is on the wrong side, I think that he respects, you know, that kind of a move. I don't think he takes it too hard or too harshly. And obviously he wasn't that close with any, with Charlie. But do you think that there's a world in which Suri told him about what was going on and they just decided to vote opposite ways to keep their relationship under wraps?
I hope that's the case. That would have been a really good idea. Because I watched I watched that night the same thought, or maybe he's like, oh crap, he's on the outs. And so he's trying to get in. But even still, Rick voting with Jonathan and Charlie feels weird because those three never really seemed to have, or at least Rick and Jonathan and like Rick and Charlie didn't seem to ever have anything too tight. So maybe he did tip her off and was willing to be in a more vulnerable position, because I think he actually kind of likes playing like that.
Yeah, he's a weird guy in the best way, in the sense that I think that he plays in a weird way. I think that he likes being in the position to make crazy moves. And if you're on the top all the time, you can't really make crazy moves. You just kind of have to try to stay at the top as much as you possibly can. You can really only make crazy moves from the bottom.
Yeah, you can't get very creative. And if you do make a crazy move from the top, then your threat level just like skyrockets.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Now, do you think that this is the right move for this group of people voting out Charlie?
I don't. Well, here's the thing with the unknown players. I don't, because both Charlie and Rizzo were extremely loyal in their seasons, but Charlie felt more, I'll use the word, like, controlled. And I mean that in the sense of, like, I would align with Charlie because I feel like he would very clearly, like, explain to me what was going on, what he was trying to do. Rizzo plays a lot more bombastically, which is not, like, my flavor, but it clearly works. I think that group just doesn't know if they want, like, a more solid player or a more exciting player. So I think it all depends on how loyal Rizzo feels to them, to be honest. Like, I think he's the one totally in control.
Yeah. Now, speaking on this a little bit, Charlie had something interesting to say in one of his exit interviews. I believe it was an exit interview with either RHAP or Mike Bloom. And he said essentially, like, the question was, what is your advice to future Survivor players? Especially on a returning player season. Like, do you have any advice? And he said something that I found very interesting. He said, take into account how people either want to be how people are perceived on the internet before they go out, and how people want to be perceived by which social media platform. And I think that this was a really interesting comment. And I actually made a video about it, but specifically, like, if you want to be liked by Facebook, you're going to play a different way. If you want to be liked by TikTok, you're going to play a different way. If you want to be liked by Reddit, you're going to play a different way. And I found this to be a very interesting way to view modern Survivor, because I think it's naive to say that social media is not a part of it. And I actually, before the season started, I was worried for people like Charlie, Camilla, and Genevieve, and Emily, because they were so, like, beloved by the internet. Right. And I was worried that that would be too big of a target. What is your opinion on this? Like, had you heard him say that before? Do you think that this is something that will be a big thing going forward?
I think it will. I haven't heard the theory as like focusing on a particular social media, but I think that totally makes sense. I feel like this is the problem also with seasons. I am not spoiled, and I don't know how spoiled the season is, but again, Reddit is my preferred, Reddit and Instagram are like my preferred forms of Survivor content. And everyone on Reddit, like, for some reason finds Charlie very uninteresting, and they really are like awful to him. And after you and I did our interview, I started rewatching 46, which couldn't recommend enough. And Charlie is fantastic. He is interesting. He's exciting. And so is Tiff, but we'll get to that. Like, he's, to use the word boring to describe him just feels extremely incorrect. So I don't know what people's problem is with him, but I feel like especially coming off of Winners at War, there's definitely like, there feels like an undercurrent of like, can't get rid of Ceri, Ozzy, Jenna Lewis notwithstanding, like, you know, our biggies.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because it's a big season and maybe they designed the tribes really nicely to avoid a situation like that, but I bet the players are just super duper aware of who they vote out. Like voting on Mike White, that has to have been a consideration.
I mean, it has to have been because, I mean, the internet's a terrible place. Like I love some corners of it, but overall it's a really terrible place. And I think, you know, I think Angelina even said in some of her exit press, like, you know, get ready for, you know, the hate coming your way, Christian, for voting out Mike White. Or maybe she said that on the island or something, but I think that is definitely that some people are considering. I wonder if the Ceri versus Jenna Lewis of it all, people were thinking, well, yeah, not great options, but I think we'll probably get less hate for voting out Jenna Lewis than Ceri. Who knows if that's necessarily the case, but it does play into, you know, it's unfortunately the 25th player of the season is the internet. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. You know, that's just kind of how it is now. And it's even more so in a returning player season because everybody knows who everyone else is and everybody knows how everyone else is perceived on the internet. So it's just very, very fascinating.
Yeah, because they already are dealing with the perceptions of each other from their seasons. Like, people know that Rick is going to play really hard, or like Dee walked on and everyone called her a threat and she hasn't even done anything yet because she keeps winning. So there's already this layer of like, I do want to work with someone or I don't because of what I think I know about them. Mm-hmm. And some of them obviously have like pre-existing relationships. And like, you're telling me you're going to let Ceri be the first person voted out? Like, if I had the opportunity to vote Ceri out first, I don't know if I would.
I don't know if I would either. It's just one of those things. Okay, this is an interesting, I think I understand this comment and I want to talk about it. What are the different ways per platform? And I think what you're asking is like, what are the, like each platform, what do you think is the way people are playing? So this is my read on it. And I would love to hear if you guys agree or if you guys disagree. So I think if you're playing for Reddit, I think that you're playing to be a game bot in a good way, in a sense of like somebody who's making crazy big moves, who's overanalyzing, who is, you know, willing to be kind of ruthless in a kind of a game bot way. Kind of like, maybe like a Cochran type. Like what do you think? I mean, you're more on Reddit than I am, but what do you think? Like game body, I think is the best way to like, put Reddit.
Reddit like can't, like who does Reddit like? That like Genevieve, I feel like a combination of like plays hard, isn't mean, but is like a different flavor than what we're used to. Like Reddit is very hard to please. And also the second they do something wrong,
it's your bot.
Like, yeah, but I'm thinking like Genevieve, Camilla, like a strategic, somewhat under the radar woman is who Reddit likes.
And that's kind of what TikTok likes too. TikTok also likes TikTok loves a woman. Loves a woman. Yeah. Loves Rachel. Loves, we got a lot of love for Carolyn on TikTok.
Yeah,
totally. A lot of love for, yeah. So I would say like, if you're playing for TikTok, you're kind of, you're mean, but in a cute way.
There's a very weird dance on the mean thing. That's a really good.
Yeah, mean, but in a cute way. I would say somebody, you know, like I feel like Tyson gets away, like a Courtney Yates. Like a Courtney Yates, I think, is a perfect, you know, idea. Or just like a hot one, like Amanda. People love Amanda on TikTok. But who doesn't love Amanda? Facebook is the easiest other one. Facebook is just Joe. They love Joe on Facebook. It's like Joe is it on Facebook. Joe or Colby, like man's man is who they love on Facebook. Buff dude. They love Jonathan.
Do they love Coach?
Oh, they love Coach on Facebook. A lot of people on Facebook.
So Coach is one of the few that spans all platforms.
I agree.
Which is fascinating. I think another layer to the, I don't know if this is the case with TikTok, but like players who are trying too hard also are like immediately shut down, which I found this interesting last season. I loved Steven. I thought he was a ton of fun, but I almost threw my remote at the TV every time he had an analogy because I found them to be so egregiously bad. And I'm really surprised that didn't come up that much. You know, I feel like the analogies have become a life of their own. And his, yeah. I know he sat in his room and thought of some of those insanely bad analogies. And yet I still liked him.
Yeah, he was endearing. He was endearing. But I think this is a very interesting case study. And I would love for somebody at college or something who has can write about a topic to write about this, because I genuinely think it's a very interesting topic. But let's move on from social media a little bit.
Yes.
Let's talk about the vote out with Angelina.
Mm-hmm.
So Angelina obviously was kind of on the track. She was on the outs. But before that, we did have an Aussie blow up, right? Blow up, I'm going to say in quotes here.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about how Aussie reacted and then how he recovered?
I think he recovered really well. I think his reaction... I feel we've seen something similar before. They're like, why didn't you tell me? I didn't tell you because I thought you'd go to the person. And from my outsider's view, I do agree. I think Aussie probably would have gone to Mike because we saw that he felt super tight with Mike, long before the show and on the show too. So, but I'm loving growth Aussie. This is the best Aussie we've ever seen, even though he can't win a challenge, which is bananas to me.
He's performing very well. He is the anchor in his group, I will say. But he needs a little bit of you need more parts of the boat to make it work. You can't just have an anchor.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm really enjoying this Aussie, and you see, I don't even think he's trying. I think he's doing I think he's playing pretty well. But so I think with that, his recovery is something we definitely wouldn't have seen in any of his other seasons. That being said, I think I don't know how much Christian wanted to work with him in general. Mm-hmm. So I think it's one of those things where if you screwed someone, for lack of a better term, who you really wanted to work with again, I don't think Christian even cared a ton about wanting to repair that with Aussie. So
yeah,
the blow up wasn't great because there's just no one, there's no one left now, and he's the only one left out. But he recovered appropriately. Yeah.
I think he recovered very well. And I will say, I think this to me, and this is my hot take, the star of this episode to me is Emily. And mm-hmm. I will tell you why. Emily, I think, is the reason why Christian Hubicki is still in this game. I will keep saying this until I am proven wrong by Christian and or Emily and or Aussie. Somebody can tell me I'm wrong. But there's a moment where Emily, first of all, is the crossroads to all of these people. Emily mm-hmm. has a relationship with Angelina. Emily has a relationship with Aussie. Emily has a relationship with Christian. She and who else is on that tribe? And I guess Emily has some sort of relationship with Stephanie, but I don't think it's that big.
Not really. Yeah.
But she is kind of I think she's the crossroads here. Aussie then comes to Emily and is like, hey, yeah, I want to vote out Christian. She has firsthand information that he actually, yes, he forgave Christian, but he doesn't forget, and he doesn't really want to work with somebody who blindsided at him. And I think Emily going to Christian saying, hey, dude, you're still up. You're still on the block is the only reason why Christian gave Aussie the shot in the dark. I do not think he was going to give the shot in the dark, because I think he thought it was a ridiculous, it doesn't really change anything, whatever else. And mm-hmm. I think that is the reason why Aussie didn't vote for Christian. And because you notice nobody voted for Christian.
Yeah.
So I feel like it just completely changed. Now, again, there's no proof for this. This is just me.
No, but I think that's a good theory. Yeah. I haven't thought of it like that.
Because we've seen her do this before with Caleb. Mm-hmm. She is able to, she said, hey, Caleb, it's you. It's mm-hmm. you. Savaya is going for you. We can change this. So let's work together. And then she saves Caleb again with the shot in the dark. She still votes for Caleb to be on the right side, but she says, hey, Caleb, you're the vote. You have to play your shot in the dark.
Yeah.
And the reason why, from what we're seeing on the edit, the reason why she did that is because she wanted to keep Caleb in the game. And granted, he goes out next, but she's good at keeping her people safe. Yes, she plays chaotically, but she keeps her people safe.
She does. Yeah. It's going to be interesting now because there's, what was I going to say? She has a long history with Aussie. She has a long history with Christian. And now there's I mean, we'll talk about what we think is going to happen in the next week, but like, should there not be a merge? Like, I'm very curious who she would pick, you know? Because I think Steph, I don't really know what's happening with Stephanie, which is insane because she's gone to tribal council 100 times in her Survivor career, and like half of them are in this season. But I think it's really just like Ozzy versus Christian going for like Emily's attention.
Do you think that Angelina was the right move here? Or do you think that like from, let's say from Ozzy's perspective, do you think voting out Christian is the better move here? Or do you think voting out Angelina is a good move here for Ozzy?
I think Angelina, I think it depends what their priorities are, because what we were shown through, which of Angelina was very minimal, but what we were shown is that people said that Angelina was not helpful around camp. She was complaining, whatever it was. And I think that matters at the beginning of the game, but maybe not so much in the second half of the game, which maybe it was just hard to pace because there's 25 people in the season. But I think they should have gotten rid of Christian. I think Christian's been driving a ton of votes. He's been extremely, like, confessionals notwithstanding, he's been very involved and like very very present. And I feel like everyone wants to work with him and Emily. So I think targeting Christian was the right idea.
I agree. I go back and forth on this one because I also think that Christian is such an easy target when there are so many moving parts, especially on a season where you don't know what's coming next. I know that people are hating on the in the hands of the fans of it all, but the in the hands of the fans of it all really does make a lot of what's coming up an unknown to these players. I mean, it's an unknown to us, but it's also an unknown to them. And so I think keeping Christian around, for example, for a 17-person merge where we're splitting into different groups, obviously they didn't know this was coming up next, but like this could be an easy vote out because he's been doing so much. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like Angelina could just slip by. I mean, I go back and forth. I think, I don't think that this is going to build, it's going to have a relationship. Like, I don't think Ozzy and Christian are going to have a relationship moving forward.
I think as soon as they have the chance to be with other people, they're gonna probably target each, actually like more heavily target each other.
I agree. But I keep going back and forth between it being a good, because I think you're right. If you give Christian an inch, he might take a mile, but also in a season like Survivor 50, where there are so many big threats, Christian, I think is one of the most obvious threats out there. I mean, he was one of the biggest threats on his season originally. You know, with Mike White targeting him like 5 times. Which I just want to say here, I am sad Mike White is gone.
He was a good player.
He was a great player, great confessionalist, so great. I will say I don't totally understand. I understand that they were friends and they built a relationship for 7 years. I don't understand the bitterness towards Christian a little bit.
Because like the after game stuff.
Because Christian, I mean, Mike White voted for Christian like 10 different times on his season. Obviously, 7 years of friendship, that's, you know, I get that. But it just doesn't add up to me in my brain. But maybe I feel more like Christian than I do like Mike White.
Yeah, I think it's, I feel like in general with returnee seasons and when there is years of friendship, it makes like the vote outs that much more complicated. So like not a social media factor, but still like a big time factor. I don't follow Exit Press a ton, but both Mike White and Angelina have like made comments about him. Angelina's, it seems more so in terms of like overall showing men significantly more than showing women, but it is like, I don't know, there's something odd. And I think like, I don't know these people, but I'm like, Christian? But there's something there that we'll probably never really find out. But when it is time for Christian's exit press, I'd be really interested to hear what he has to say.
Well, you said those special words. You said Angelina, exit press, and women. And now I need to know, Alexa.
How could I?
What are your thoughts on the edit this season? I mean, we've got two ladies talking about Survivor. Will Phil edit this down? And he just talks a lot, and we are
Phil's gonna pop in here and kick both of us out. So as I told you, I just rewatched season 46, and I watched that, and I was like, hold on. Tiff is a huge part of this season. And not only because she went to tribal council a lot, but she is a fantastic confessionalist. She's very funny. She is a the perfect dance of like not mean, but like can push. She's really funny. And I'm like, she's fantastic. And until she like up until she gets voted out, she's very much a part of this, even when she's not as relevant to the story. And so I think a mistake was made when more than 20 people were cast. I'm gonna start with the like excuses. 24 people never should be, absolutely never should be on a season again. It is too many.
And especially not on a 26-day season.
Exactly. And it's weird too with the tribal councils, like almost, it would almost be better if there had been more tribal councils because then that's more opportunity to talk to these people. So there absolutely shouldn't be this many people unless we're getting 3-hour episodes. And I typically understand and agree with the, they're not going to tribal council, we're not talking to them. However, I think when you're like the winner of season 41 and you don't go to tribal council, you should still like talk to that person a little bit more. But I refuse to believe, and I do not believe that there isn't anything interesting that Chrissy, Tiff, Angelina, Dee, any of these people are saying. Dee, like being really upset about not seeing Zach Brown was like very interesting to me. Like, I don't know if I would have cried, but I'm like, that was like cool to me how moving this was to her, and sucks that she didn't get it, you know?
Yeah.
I think like, I don't want to be like, we shouldn't have seen Christian pooping his pants, or like, we shouldn't have seen Coach knighting people, because like, we did cast Coach, and like, what do we think? He's not going to knight someone and we're not going to love it. Like, be real. Like, that is what people want. But I think Zach Brown taking up more time than what 4 players is absolutely insulting. And I just, you cast these people for a reason. And even like, you could, like, let's say Charlie had 6 confessionals about being annoyed at Rizzo. You could have deleted 2 of those and talked to Chrissy more, because Chrissy, I'm rewatching her season now, Chrissy was not liked on her season. She started off not being liked on this season. Do people still not like her, or is she finding her way again? That to me is interesting, and that will probably make her or anyone's vote out make a lot more sense later on when she's involved in a vote out. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's so noticeable and obvious, and it's insane to me that in the 50th season that this is happening.
Yeah, and I mean, there is a lot that has been said online already, a lot that there is still left to be said, but I would be remiss, you know, I feel like rarely are there 2 women talking about Survivor on a podcast.
I know, go on.
So I feel like we have to talk about this, especially because, you know, it's especially hurts that Tiffany only has 2, because she was the biggest.
Phil's monitoring us. Watch out, God. Phil, we're taking over.
We are. Because Tiffany was the biggest, like, why is she there? Like, what did she do? That was the biggest.
I hate that.
I hate that so much. And so I was so excited to see her, you know. And I'm not saying she's not doing this. She absolutely probably is doing this. We're just not seeing it. Like, I was excited to see her prove everyone wrong, because I think that she was such a big part. Not I think. She was such a big part of 46. She was so incredible. And to see somebody, you know, who was already being slighted by the fans because of the casting in the first place, then continue being slighted by the edit, it just hurts. And especially because I adore Tiffany. And I think that she is one of the better castings of the new era. And I think that I just think that she's so incredibly smart and so social and so strategic. And I just find it incredibly insulting when people online are saying, well, you know, these women aren't doing anything interesting. They're not doing anything interesting. That's why they're not having screen time.
It's not Big Brother.
Yeah. Like, how do you know? Exactly. How do you know that? And also, you know, if they're not doing anything interesting, then the casting department failed. Then the casting department failed, because then if they're doing nothing on that season, then they shouldn't be on the season. But there's no way that's the case.
I agree. And even with the Angelina stuff, like, actually, I'll speak more to Stephanie, because I think Stephanie is someone who is controversial is a strong word, but like some people love her and some people don't. And she has a really strong personality. And you're telling me that she's just like chilling there, like letting all of her people get voted out. Like, there's no way that she's not like pushing a little bit, or like, why aren't we seeing that? It is like, we've had so many vote outs that have involved Ozzy, Christian, and Emily. And Ozzy, Christian, and Emily, I'm including Emily here, like, they don't need to be the only narrators. Yeah. It's been this group for 3 weeks now.
Yeah. And I do agree that this is a topic that has been talked a lot, but I want to talk about this really quickly. They say, I see no reason to complain about confessional accounts until the season is over, personally. Plus, it is far more important that the story makes sense than everyone get equal time. And I think this is true. And Angelina said something very poignant in one of her things. She said, you know, it's reality TV. I'm not looking for equity here. I'm not looking for equality. But, you know, the reason why I think this is an important thing to talk about is a lot of the time, the editing is still happening, right?
Is that a lot?
It's not 100% true, but like when I saw the premiere of season 48, they had been editing for episode 3.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Or it was like 3 or 4 or something. So now, granted, you know, I don't know if they're still editing it now, but mm-hmm. if they are, I do think it's important for us to say, hey, look at what's lacking here. Is there any way you can fix it down the line?
It also, I don't think it make, I think being this overly uneven does not make the story interesting, because now I think there's 4 people who can win. And yeah. the reality of how it's edited is it's so obvious who, it's not so obvious who winners are, but it's clear that the edit is.
I would be shocked if Tiffany won, and I would be happy because Tiffany was my preseason winner pick, but like, if Tiffany wins and she does not have, she only has 2 confessionals in the first 5 episodes, there's something wrong with that too. But like, I feel like we can count that out. I feel like we can count Tiffany out for the win. Like, I don't think that's happening.
And it's not confessional count over the course of the season, because like, that's like, Genevieve or Genevieve round 1 or Sophie Segretti. Is it Segretti? Is that how you pronounce
Segretti,
her
yeah.
In like, she came out of nowhere and then she was really awesome. But I was like, well, she's probably going to go in 2 weeks because I didn't hear from her.
Yep.
So,
we start to hear from people a lot, and then we're like, "Well, we haven't heard from her at all, and now we're hearing from her 15 times in one episode. I wonder who's going home today."
Yeah, and also I like my family and like my friends who are not like violently tapped in like I am. I will watch them and keep my mouth shut, and they're like, "Oh, well, I think Heather's going home because who is she?" Like people who don't pay attention to edits know this stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't watch other reality TV, but I believe this is like pretty endemic across all of them. And I assume it's because you don't want us, like production doesn't want us to like fall in love with someone and then get mad when they get voted out. But I do want to get mad when someone is voted out because I love this show.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I agree. I 1000% agree. I will say though, I think that people are taking it a little bit too far, saying Survivor's over because of the edit. I'm like, girl, if you think that the edit is bad now, where have you been? Like, this has been this has been a problem. And we've been talking about this for a while. And it's not just women, it's anybody, you know. So I think, you know, it's something that I think is worth mentioning and worth talking about, but I'm still enjoying the season.
I'm absolutely enjoying it. And like, I think the last thing I'll say is like, we can like, for those listening, like you can take it from the perspective of their complaining, or like, I think like, you don't have to like Angelina, but she wrote out a pretty well thought out and like way better verse than how I could have said it post on her Instagram about like what you said, I don't care about equity. I don't need half the amount of confessionals that Christian or Ozzy are getting, but I was there and things happened and I got voted out and like, you're going to show someone pooping their pants for like 2 minutes, like a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I just think back to like, we didn't hear from Angelina when Mike White got voted out. We did not hear from Camilla when Kyle got medevaced, and we didn't hear
Camilla
from
Camilla got interrupted.
Yes. Yes. And we didn't hear from, be interrupted by, you know, a beef that happened, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. The interruption was, I can't believe people didn't talk about Coach interrupting her. That was like crazy.
crazy. He went, that's bad. That's bad. But also I'm mad also.
Yeah.
But also I'm mad. Mm-hmm. Oh man. Okay. Are there any other points that you want to talk about with this last episode? Any other shock or awe or anything else?
I don't think so. I think I'm just really confused as to like how we're going to be pacing what's going on. So I like very, I only watched the Next Time on Survivor for like the one time. I've not rewatched it. Did Jeff say the M word or did a player say merge?
I believe it was Jeff that said merge. And they also have the yellow buffs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it is it's not even a mergatory, it seems. It seems like God. It is a proper merge, but at 17 is crazy. So let me read the synopsis. Okay. So it says, mysterious boat arrives, delivering an exciting message. Drop your buffs. A mad dash ensues when castaways discover that an advantage is hidden deep in the jungle. This week's mouthwatering challenge reward lifts spirits, but only briefly. A true survivor first, the dreaded Blood Moon leads to a historic tribal council.
Whoa.
I'm so stoked for whatever this Blood Moon is. I have a theory, but do you have any theories on what's going to happen?
I have to process this. So was Blood Moon capitalized?
I believe it was. Let me just.
Because I'm like, is it in reference to like an actual Blood Moon? And it was like the first time in 25 years that a Blood Moon like timed up with tribal council, or is this like a advantage?
No, I think Blood Moon is what they're calling the tribal council, but I'm gonna look up if there was a Blood Moon 2025 June, what would that
in
be,
Fiji.
June 17th, Fiji.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Go ahead.
Oh no, that's 2076. Just so you guys know, there is going to be a total lunar eclipse on June 17th, 2076 in Fiji. So if anybody wants to plan their trip now,
oh
do
my
it.
Gosh. Everyone, like, just start booking your flights. 2076.
Book your flights now.
Okay, so I see. I forget. Like, did we vote on merge or mergatory? Because if so, I definitely voted for a merge.
I don't remember. I don't. Those votes got so crazy in there. I think that we voted for that. Yeah.
I think so. Well, I'm glad that we won. Turgistan, yes, a real Blood Moon would be cool. I don't think I've ever seen a Blood Moon, but I guess we'll find out this week.
We'll find out.
So they're actually going to merge, but obviously there's some form of twist here. So I wonder if it's like, I hope they don't do this. I wonder if they like do two immunities and split them up, but I feel like doing back to back double boots last week and double boots this week feels weird, but it also feels like something that needs to happen.
So this is what I think is going to happen. I actually think it's going to be a triple boot.
Oh, wow. I guess Survivor first.
Blood Moon, to me, seems blood like bath. Something ominous, bloodbath, right? Yeah. And then if you look at, and I actually took some screenshots because I'm a crazy person, of the Next Time on Survivor. So you'll see here, oops, okay. You'll see here on this that there's that light blue color. Oh, and everyone look, you can see my nails. Light blue color right
yes.
here. Uh-huh. And then look, there's the orange color right there.
Oh, and so maybe then, they get in the challenge, they get divided.
And then there's the pink color right there.
Oh,
so
good.
I think they're being divided into three groups.
Three groups of,
yeah. So I think it's either, yeah, I think it's three tribals, or it's everyone goes to tribal at once. No, I think it's three tribals. And I think everybody, we're voting out one person each, but I think they wanted people, I think they're doing the merge early because I think they want a lot of people to make the merge. It's like it's a returning player season. I think they want people to get the buffs and whatever else. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think. And then I think, so 17 divided by 3 is not an even number, obviously. So what I think is going to happen is I think that two people mm-hmm. will go to exile and be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be three groups of five.
That's a good point, because exile happened just in the premiere and never happened again.
Yep. So I think it'll be three groups of five, and two people will be safe, but they'll be on exile, mm-hmm. which means they also don't have a say in who goes home, obviously. And then I think that is my theory. And I really truly think it's right.
That's a really good theory. I really completely forgot about Exile Island until now. But I think you have to send at least two people there, or maybe they send three, like one from each tribe.
But then it's not an even split though.
How many people left right now?
It's 17. So 17 weird. People. If you were 18 people, it'd be three groups of six, but it's 17.
So you send two and get into three groups of five. And are they, do you think they're going on different beaches? Like all three of these groups? Like, is it one of those kind of votes?
I think maybe.
Oh man. I mean, Survivor loves a tiny tribal. So
they love maybe. A tiny tribal. And another thing that I also forgot about until like yesterday, Colby does not have a vote.
I need a tracker of like there's a handful of advantages. Did I just freeze?
No, I froze. I'm back. Okay. I like the position I was frozen in.
Yeah, that was like mind blown. I think does anyone else not have a vote, or is it just
no? It's just because Colby was. I mean, Q was the other person that didn't have a vote, but he got voted out.
And then Ozzy has an idol. Aubrey has an idol. Does Ozzy also have an extra vote?
Ozzy gave his extra vote to Suri.
Suri has an extra vote.
And
Rizzo has an idol.
Rizzo has an idol.
Okay, so it's not, I mean, considering how many people, that's actually not crazy.
It could be far worse, because the other person who had an advantage is Savannah, and she got voted out with it. She had the secret block of vote, or the secret steal of vote, I think.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to think of like what else is not in, like insane to think about that they've never done before. Like if a triple boot really does make sense, that really sucks.
Isn't that crazy? Because like, then it would get down to 14 people, which is like a typical merge.
A little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
I wonder if they would ever like vote two people out in the same tribal council. Like you vote, everyone votes, Alexa gets voted out, and then like you do it again.
I could see that too.
I could see them doing that. It feels like a ripe opportunity for people to like stand up and walk around, which I know they like. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but do you think only one person gets individual immunity?
I think so. And then my guess, this is my other theory, which I didn't sign anything, so I think I can share. nothing got signed. I got approached to do a brand deal for this episode. I did not get it. Rip me.
Sorry to hear that.
I think I asked for too much money.
How dare you?
That's okay. I know. That's okay.
We'll talk about that on a different podcast.
It had to be for this episode, this coming up episode. And I want you to guess the brand that asked.
Is it a brand that has sponsored Survivor before?
Yes.
Oh my God. Was it Applebee's? No way.
So it says a mouthwatering reward. So I think it's the Applebee's.
I know. I was skipping that. I forgot to mention that. Oh my God. I'm so excited for another Applebee's one.
I think it's Applebee's. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe Applebee's is the next week, but my guess would be the person who stands up on the platform the longest wins their group, the Applebee's feast.
Oh, their whole group. Yeah.
That would be my guess. That would be my guess.
Then maybe it is one of those where it's three individual immunities, because it's like you win immunity. Oh no, wait, if they're not going, well, I guess if you assume they are going to different tribal councils or different beaches, then everyone gets individual immunity, and the person who lasts of those three gets Applebee's. I am so excited for Applebee's.
I mean, don't quote me. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right.
Okay, I mean, if it's just for this episode, then it has to be.
It has to be, right? It has to be.
Amazing. Well, sorry you didn't get it, but maybe you can. Is there like one in the city? Is there one around here?
There are. Oh yeah. They're giving me a consolation of a gift card. So I have Applebee's money to spend.
All right. You're going to have to go.
I think it'll be, I mean, I love an Applebee's reward. I think it'll be really fun, but I'm just like, it's so hard to guess who is in a bad position going into this kind of a thing, because we don't know the breakdown of the groups. We have no idea who is going to be with whom. Like, if it's a group of, like, Jonathan, and then, you know, the other four people are Suri, Rick, Christian, and Emily, probably Jonathan's going home. But, like, who knows who's going to be with whom?
Yeah, I think it's going to – Someone who goes home will be one of the people who hasn't been to tribal yet, because like they're itching, you know, they've been really wanting to, or even of the, I forget what color they are, the tribe that just went to tribal council between Rizzo and Charlie, like people have been wanting to play and there's really just been one tribe that keeps going. So I feel like people are going to be really eager to, like Aubrey and Genevieve are going to be gunning big time for each other because they can finally like release the tension.
Yep. I'm worried. I am worried for Colby. I mean, I think that if Colby lands, because not having a vote with the, I mean, unless he like is one of the people that goes to exile, not having a vote in a group of five people is bad.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And they could just turn around and like, no one seems to be targeting him, but it could be like a, we have to get rid of you because
it's like we can't, what can you give us right now? Exactly. I could be wrong and I hope I am, but like, I just feel like that's not good. Now, here's the thing. If he lands with Stephanie and Jonathan, you know, and then the other two people are, you know, not with him, maybe they do a tie vote and something crazy happens, but
I don't know. Yeah. Colby's in trouble. I think, you know, there's actually nobody left who like really wants to get Christian out. So I actually can't say that Christian's in trouble. I think Ozzy is like kind of always going to be in trouble.
Yeah. I could see like Aubrey and or, I mean, I think Aubrey and or Genevieve will be in trouble. I think one of the two of them will be in trouble.
Yeah. But, and like maybe, honestly, maybe not Rick. Like, I feel like Rick took a step back a little. Good.
I mean, maybe this is when the idol pops out. Maybe their hidden idol thing. You know, you don't know what's going on. You don't know the people that you're.
It's going to happen.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up.
We're having a little.
Is it, can you hear me? I'm losing
all
Alexa.
Right, I think I'm good.
Oh, she was gone and then she was back and then she was gone and then she was back. Can she hear me now? Is it my Wi-Fi?
How am I? Am I back yet?
You're back. I think your voice is back.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I feel a little.
I think I need to take a picture of this. The frozen picture of Alexis. So, anybody who's watching. It's the funniest picture. It's for those who are listening. Hi. Oh, she's back.
I think I'm back now. I'm really sorry.
You are. Your picture was frozen. It was like you with your like nose scrunched up. It was so funny. Hold on. It was like the perfect. It was so good. But I think that like this coming up is going to be chaotic and a lot of moving parts. And so I think it's really, really hard to guess what's going to happen because there are just so many moving parts. And it's like, how are we going to know who goes where?
I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, is it back? Am I back? Are you in and
yeah,
out?
Yeah, it's me. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why.
That's okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Well, we're pretty much at the end anyway. So this is perfect timing.
It's been an hour.
Before we go, we have to give somebody the Alley-Oop Award. So the Alley-Oop Award is who we think is setting themselves up best for the next episode. Obviously we don't know what's going to happen here in this next episode. Mm-hmm. It's very chaotic, but, I do think that there are a couple of people who I think have set themselves up pretty well. And I would love to hear who you think it is.
I feel like it's a little obvious to say Camilla, but she's the first person I thought of as soon as you said that. And in a way I would actually say Saree. I think even though I do think that Rizzo is going to get her, I don't think it's going to be right now. Mm-hmm. And Saree has enough. I think she's got enough people around her. And I think she proverbially knighted Rizzo. You know, she like chose him. And I don't think his like love for her will last forever, but I do think it's going to work. And she, well, assuming it's not like a 5-5-5, mm-hmm. she will benefit from a group of 17 because there's way too many people and no one's going to forget about her. So I'd say Camilla, Saree, maybe D, but I'm still nervous for D.
I get that. The person that I'm leaning towards, and maybe it's just because I'm being manipulated by the edit, is Emily. And I think that Emily is also somebody who I think if they do get break up into these like 5-5-5, I think that she has so many relationships. She's got a relationship with Ozzy, a relationship with Christian, a relationship with Ceree, a relationship with Rick Devens, a relationship with a little bit of a relationship with Stephanie. I mean, she's voted with Stephanie twice now. So I think that in any way, any group that she ends up on, she has a relationship. And I think that that'll be really good for her. But I also agree with Camilla, and I also agree with Ceree. I'm too nervous for D to give it to D. I think that she has such a big target on her back being a winner. That yeah. I think that that's just like so hard to overcome. But the person that I just, and again, I'm Emily, we just hear from Emily so much that I think, you know, I mean, being manipulated by the edit, but I just see her with so many relationships right now that I just feel like she will have somebody who wants to work with her in pretty much any way that this group goes.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I don't think people are annoyed at Christian. They're not annoyed at Emily. Like mm-hmm. Ozzy, like came to Emily this week and really wanted to keep working with her. So
yeah.
She'll be good. And she doesn't have anyone on her season, right? Or am I getting this wrong?
D is the only other person.
Yeah. But the two of them don't seem like they're super duper tight, and I'd get rid of D before Emily.
Agree. I agree. And I mean, D and Emily, I think are friendly, but I mean, they didn't work together on their season. So they're not like an overt pair.
Yeah, exactly. So, oh, I like this alley. Okay, cool. And I'm excited for this mouth-watering blood moon.
I know. I think it's gonna be a good episode, and it's a two-hour episode. Like, I
oh, think, sweet.
I know.
Okay. Oh, 2 hours. That is helpful for your theory.
Right. Right.
That's very helpful for your theory.
Ryan and I have been saying that Ryan started saying this 3 weeks ago. He gets the credit. He comes up with the good ideas in the relationship. I just kind of parrot them. 75% of the time. But he came up with this idea about 3 weeks ago because he saw it was a 2-hour episode. And he was like, why is this one 2 hours? So
yeah. Oh, I can't wait for you to be right. And I hope we have Applebee's. I think that's gonna be really good. Applebee's, I feel like, will be especially good on a returning season. Yes. Like, we always see the new kids get excited about it. I want to see Coach lose his mind for some Applebee's.
Yes, please. I want that so badly. Oh my gosh. And you know what? We don't hate sponsored rewards. We just don't like it when you spend 45 minutes on a sponsored reward.
If the CEO of Applebee's had more confessionals than Tiff, I would throw a hissy fit. But Applebee's is like, I want to see Tiff getting drunk off a shark bowl.
100%. I want her to have a bacon, a Bourbon Street burger or whatever it's called, because she didn't get to it on 46.
Oh, yeah.
And then she told Liz, I didn't get to the burger.
That was so bad.
It's so crazy.
That's true. Man, if there's an Applebee's reward and we don't talk to Tiff, then it's all over.
You will be hearing from my lawyers.
Yeah.
Period.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, Alexa, thank you so much for hopping in today and chatting about Survivor with me. And I know that everybody always loves to hear your thoughts and your takes. So this was truly a treat. And, you know, I would say second to only the Applebee's treat that hopefully we're getting this week.
I'm happy being in that position. thanks for calling me. This was super fun. So happy to join anytime.
You're the best. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening and chatting. Last week, I know I told you I was going to have Eric on. Eric will still be on the Matt Chat at some point this season, but I have a very exciting guest for next week. I'm going to tease it. This person was allied with somebody who was still on Survivor 50. So think about that.
Ooh.
Ruminate on that. And, you know, we'll see if it actually happens, but it's scheduled. So I'm crossing my fingers it does. But thank you all so much for listening and for chatting. And, you know, Phil and everybody else from The Specialist, we'll see you guys so many other times, you know, in this week talking about the Blood Moon and hopefully Applebee's. But until then, I will see you next week. Thank you all so much.
Bye.
Bye.